when you remember that Jesus is telling a parable, which means there are different ways to listen to it. There are different messages. It's not just one thing. Here's your moral. This is what you do now. And so we could read this and wonder, what is it that happens to us right after we die? It really doesn't sound that great. Makes us wonder about, what is this Hades? Jesus is using a Greek idea for a place of waiting for judgment. So what does that mean for the afterlife? Or we could read it just as it sounds, as a cautionary tale, as what happens when we die, and oh dear, do we go to a good place or a bad place? And is it really that dependent on what we do or on our faith? And what if our faith doesn't make us do what God wants us to do? And then where do we go in that chasm, and what side are we on? And I've given you enough now to worry about all next week, so you're welcome for that. But I think what helps us get a handle on this is knowing who Jesus is talking to. Remember, all of this has been Jesus telling parables. He's been telling stories about rejoicing in God, about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son that all the angels in heaven and earth rejoice over when they are found, when they are brought back. And then we heard a story about a rich man last week, not just this week, but a rich man who used money in a way to, even though he squandered his master's wealth, built up the people around him and kind of provided a cushion for himself. And now Jesus is continuing with another parable of a rich man. But just before he gets to the rich man's stories, there's a little verse 15 that we missed today. The Pharisees had gathered around, and they are labeled as lovers of money. See, their problem is that they have loved money so much that they have become blind to the people around them. And so Jesus is telling these parables specifically to the people who love money. Now, before you go, well, I don't love it that much, I'm good. Remember that the parables still speak to us. The rich man, the one who has all the things that we wish we had, that comfort, that security, that wonderful meals, and hopefully not the wonderful waistline that goes with it, all the things that this world, this culture, this capitalism promises us. We work hard and we get what we want and we sit back and enjoy. And then there's the poor man at the gate, who may have worked and may not have, but he's at a point where there are sores on his body and his energy is gone, and all he can do is rely on the goodness of people around him. One life we want, one life we detest. One place we hope for and strive for, one we hope we never find ourselves in that position. And the problem is, the chasm that developed between the two of them in life was only widened after their death. The poor man taken to Abraham's bosom, to the place of comfort and joy, and the rich man sent to Hades, to this place of torment and emptiness. But the problem isn't the man's lack of faith, because he recognizes Abraham. The problem is his lack of compassion. See, even in death, the rich man doesn't get it, because he still sees the poor man as somebody who's there to serve him. Oh, Father Abraham, please send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue. I'm in agony down here. Well, no. It's his turn to be comforted. He didn't have this in life. Well, okay, then send Lazarus to my brothers. Let them know that they need to listen, that this isn't the way that their life is leading to. They don't want this. Send Lazarus to do that. No. Even if somebody came back from the dead, your brother still wouldn't listen. It's not enough to help you see. It's not enough for you to now want what you could have had your whole life. Which is why we still need this parable today, too. Because we still are blind. And there are still ways that we refuse to see the people at our gate. because our world still sees whole people groups and names them worthless. We still see whole people groups and name them as inconvenient, as problems, as the foundation of all of the things that are going wrong. We see whole people groups and we see them as issues on a list of talking points, rather than the people who are looking for the same stuff we look for happiness, for security, for love, and people who are doing the best that they can with what they have. So we open the scriptures every Sunday because we have them. Because we have Moses and the prophets, we have Christ and the letters to teach us to see, to help open our eyes and our hearts, that we may have faith and compassion to do something with what God has blessed us with, that we may see the needs that are around us and be able to respond with grace, with forgiveness for the people who have wronged us, with hope that they may have some as well. And we find that our God still comes back to us. Christ, raised from the dead, still comes to us with that message of hope and of life and of love for one another. So we have the scriptures. We have someone back from the dead. The question is, will we have the ears to hear? Will we have the eyes to see? Will we have the heart that has compassion that God is working to create in us every day? In the words that were written to Timothy, let us not be conceited or set our hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. May we do good, be rich in good works, generous and ready to share. In addition, may we also listen for the voice of God in Scripture, to be guided by God's kingdom rather than our own, so that we all may take hold of the life that really is life, found only in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, I was going to hand